from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
All right. We are joined right now by Odyssey MLB insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call, click Grainger.com or just stop by. Brett is also the host of the Brett Boone podcast, featuring the most notable names in Major League Baseball and around sports every week. He was a decade plus second baseman, a gold glover, a silver slugger. Thank you so much for joining us, Brett. Really appreciate it.
You got it. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm looking at the National League. Here's where I'm going to start. I'm looking at the National League standings right now, and there's about seven teams that are all bunched up. The Cubs are 33 and 35, and we go all the way down to the Diamondbacks, and there's about five teams in between. How would you handicap the last two wild cards? Because it looks like, I mean, there's 8-10 teams that, I mean, could get there.
There is, especially in the National League. I broke it down to this. I think there's two elite teams in the National League. That's the Phillies and that's the Dodgers. Other than that, everybody else is kind of in that next, you know, you drop down to the next category and you kind of got the Atlanta Braves of the world. The Brewers, I think, are a second tier. And then everybody else is kind of put in this kind of melting pot. It's kind of the Padres. San Francisco, if it ended today and it was playoff time, San Francisco is in.
Yeah.
But you look in that Central Division, other than the Brewers, it's as mediocre as any division in baseball when second place is under 500 and everybody follows suit there, but it's tightly bunched. After Atlanta in the East, there's not much there. You got Washington's even ahead of the Mets right now. Mets in fourth place. And then this West, which I really thought was going to be the best division in baseball with the Dodgers. I thought the Padres were going to be better. I thought San Francisco with that pitching staff, although the Giants have been beat up this year. They're just getting healthy. Obviously, Snell hasn't been what's expected to this point, and he's coming off an injury hopefully soon. He's crucial for the San Francisco Giants to make a legitimate run. He's got to be healthy. But that pitching staff, especially the starters, very formidable. Arizona has been a big disappointment for me. I look at them a year ago going to the World Series, two games away from being World Series champion. I thought they improved themselves this offseason. It just hasn't worked out so far. Gallen and Kelly at the top of the rotation have gone down. And then the Colorados, the Miamis of the world. I think the Mets Washington in that same category. They're not going to make a run. So it comes down to, is Cincinnati, Chicago, or St. Louis in the Central going to make a run? And what is San Francisco and the Padres going to do on the West Coast? I think the Dodgers are the obvious class of that division. And then, you go to the East Coast and you got Philly at the top of the division. Philly could be the best team in baseball. Just well-rounded. They got stars all over the field. And I think this year, the young third baseman, Bohm, has got into that star class. And so they just got one more star. The pitching, they're starting... pitching has been phenomenal. I think number one in the National League with Nola, Suarez, and Wheeler. So they're going to be tough. We saw them a year ago. They were tough then. They're going to be tough now. But the rest of it's kind of up for grabs. But right now, Giants, Pods, and Dodgers from the West Coast, all in the playoffs as of today.
I agree, Brett, and wholeheartedly agree about the pitching staff being the strength of the Giants, though they haven't gotten healthy. And I want to zero in on one guy, because yesterday was Logan Webb's day, and look, 12 of his 15 starts this year, he's gotten at least six innings. He's pitched the most innings in the National League, actually Major League Baseball, over the last 2 years now. It seems like he's always in the sixth or the seventh. He's always competing, and after a Cy Young runner-up, it feels like he should be in the conversation with the top guys in baseball, and yet for whatever reason, isn't. I mean, when you think about Logan Webb, do you feel like he is an ace? And if not, how come he doesn't get that kind of respect? Is it because he's throwing more changeups than fastballs? Because he's an old school pitcher? I consider him a one, and I'm just curious if you do.
He's absolutely a one. You know, I've never faced him, but what my eye sees when I watch him pitch, he's absolutely a one. I've been saying for a long time now, he's always in the conversation for me at the beginning of the season where we're handicapping who's going to be in the Cy Young race. I always have Logan Webb waiting for that day to just come to fruition. But I think if you ask hitters around baseball, when Webb is right and he's out there, he's definitely a one for those guys. So yeah, I don't take into consideration new school, old school type pitching. Webb, without a doubt for me, is a number one. You just got to have Snell. He's that guy. Jordan Hicks has been a huge, has done a great job going from the bullpen to the starting rotation, Harrison and Wynn. But man, you got to have Snell. And I think that was the reservation that the Padres had, you know, a year ago. He wins a Cy Young. How many teams don't even have a conversation with a Cy Young Award winner? Snell went out on the open market, went to the San Francisco Giants, because I think with Snell, like with a lot of the free agents this past winter that were signed, and everybody was saying, why isn't Boris getting it done? Well, if you look at him, it's a guy like Snell. He wins a Cy Young in Tampa. He goes to the Padres, has a few okay, decent years, and then all of a sudden emerges as a dominant Cy Young a year ago. So with the Snell, it's always been, yeah, we'll take the Snell that wins a Cy Young, but we don't know what we're going to get. Giants are finding out that right now, and hopefully for the Giants' sake, Snell gets it on the right track coming back from this, I believe it was a groin or hamstring.
Yeah.
You'll have him back soon because you got to have him. If you want to compete in that division with the Dodgers at the top and compete for a playoff spot, I think you, at the top of the show, you talked that you agreed that starting rotation is the strength of that Giants. I think that the city you play in, the ballpark you play in, all plays a factor. But at the end of the day, it's that starting rotation. And for them to make a run, Snell's got to be right.
Insider calls are brought to you by Grainger for the ones who get it done. Grainger offers professional-grade supplies and solutions made for every industry and backed by product experts. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Brett Boone, former Gold Glover and Silver Slugger, joining us on 95.7 The Game. Brett, how many – baseball is such a long season and there's ebbs and flows. How many games would you say it takes before you really – can know what your team is?
Well, I think if you take out of the equation, if you've had a lopsided amount of injuries, I think there's exceptions for that. But
sure.
if for the most part you go through April and you get through May with your main guys and everybody remaining somewhat healthy, I think you have a pretty good feel of what your team is at this point in the season. Difference is from now and 15, 20, 25 years ago, is the 162-game schedule is not as crucial as it used to be. Back in the day, and you probably have to go even farther back into the 80s on when it was really imperative that you win, and you win the marathon of 162, because there was only two teams from each league going to the playoffs. Now there's you've got 12, six from each league. So the 162, the purist in me doesn't like it. The player in me loved that 162-game grind, because when you were standing at the end, you were a champion, and you were the best of the best for 162 games. As modern day, and we've changed the format, and it's 12 to get in, and not the best team always wins. I think we've watched that the last few years. You know, Arizona getting just limping into the playoffs, two games away from winning a World Series. Dodgers of winning 111 games, 104 games, not getting out of the first round. So it's proven that today, sometimes the formula is going through that wild card route, so anything's up for grabs. The purist in me, the player in me, I don't like it as much. But now sitting here, the 55-year-old analyst that watches the game from an entertainment value and for the good of the game, I think it's awesome.
Well, speaking of the player, Brett, I mean, you had pop, you could hit for average. The two silver sluggers obviously speak to that. But you also played in different ballparks. You played in hitter's parks, and you played in a park in Seattle that isn't considered necessarily a hitter's park. I know you still had multiple 35-plus home run seasons there, but as somebody that enters, say, Oracle Park in San Francisco for the first time, how big of an adjustment is it when, say, you're Jorge Soler, you're coming off a 36 home run season, you've hit 40 more in your career. How difficult is it to adjust to the fact that you might not hit as many home runs, that when you connect with that ball, it's just not going to go as far? How tough is that as a hitter?
Well, I look at it even more at your ballpark up there in San Francisco from a left-hander, because the right center, and that's what makes what Bonds did off the charts impressive to me. It's a couple years ago when Aaron Judge was close to signing with the San Francisco Giants. The player in me took a step back, and you know, I didn't know the intricals, what was going on behind the scenes, but I thought there's no way Aaron Judge, the captain of the Yankees who had been passed on from Derek Jeter and was the heir apparent, is not going to sign with the New York Yankees and go to a ballpark in San Francisco that doesn't fit his mold. A lot of his home runs are fly balls to right center field. In San Francisco, those are outs. Now, as a player, as a hitter, you take all those things into consideration when you're a free agent and you're making a move. Yeah, the money probably is the number one factor, but you always think, where am I comfortable? Do I like the batter's box? Does this ballpark set up to my eye? And it's tough going to San Francisco. I started off playing at Candlestick Park. I played in the new park two or three series, but it was always tough going to San Francisco from a weather standpoint. You know, it could be in the middle of summer, you got long sleeves, and it's a little bit cold, the wind's whipping. You never know. So I always thought the Giants kind of had a built-in home field advantage a little more than the rest of us, because as hitters, I'll be honest with you, I didn't like going to San Francisco, and that's a positive for the home team there.
It's interesting you say that, because one of the things we were talking about today was Matt Cain's perfect game 12 years ago. So I was curious just how that offense measured up. And they were dead last in the National League in home runs, but they were number three in batting average, and that's how their offense was able to produce. Do you think that it is possible to put together a great offense without the home run ball, with how good pitching is in the modern game?
I think without a doubt you can. I think you've got to play the game like the Kansas City Royals are playing this year. You've got to play kind of, I like to stay away from the word old school, but I think you play baseball and you play it correctly. It really develops from a team standpoint, a camaraderie that you can't get. You got guys moving runners. You got guys hitting sacrifice flies and sacrifice fly situations. Man, that builds. Because you sit there as a team and you go, if the main guys in this lineup, the two, the three, the four hole hitters are moving runners and getting the job done and playing kind of old school baseball, I'll be damned if the 25th, 26th man on the roster is not going to do the same thing. I had that camaraderie a little bit when I was in Seattle. And it was Edgar Martinez. I remember one day, it was an 8-2 game, and he hit a two-hop grounder to the second baseman. Obviously moved the runner on purpose with no outs, ended up the next guy ended up hitting the sack fly. I went up to Edgar and I said, why'd you do that? 8-2. He said, I found that you played this game right. Over the long haul, over 162 games, you will come out on top. And I always took that to heart, and I started doing that. And now the next guy's doing it, and the next guy's doing it. So, yes, it's about developing that camaraderie, that kind of aura in the clubhouse where you're all pulling on the same end of the rope. So without a doubt, in the modern game, without hitting a lot of home runs, if you play the game right and get that going and just pass it from one guy, pass that torch from one guy to the next, you can definitely be successful in 2024.
Brett, what was your favorite park to hit in? And do you know essentially what you hit in all the opposing ballparks?
Well, you mentioned and back then it was Safeco Field, and they've moved the fences in since. But, yeah, it was always noted as a pitcher's ballpark for some reason. There's no rhyme or reason for it. I just loved hitting at Safeco. Always had success, and people used to say, how do you like hitting here? And I didn't know why. I didn't know whether I saw the ball well or what it was, or it was just that part of my career. But I had a lot of success at Safeco Field. I loved coming to Anaheim. I went to high school and college in Southern California, and maybe it was the home cooking. And I couldn't replay. I loved going to Wrigley. I didn't get to play a ton of series once I went back to the American League there. But I'll tell you, there's nothing like going to old Yankee Stadium. Just the whole experience being in the city of New York for 4 days, walking down, you know, to get the paper in the morning and have guys from across the street screaming at you how you stink and you're going to get crushed tonight. Nothing replaced that for me. I love going to old Yankee Stadium, but that was more the experience than the actual ballpark. The ballparks are weird. Everybody's different. Some pitchers like certain mounds at certain places. Some hitters like certain setups and how it looks to your eye, like a golfer likes a golf hole. Camden Yards, back in the day, they had a terrible rotation. Their team wasn't very good. It was a hitter-friendly ballpark, and I could not get a hit. And everybody else there, the bats would be flying off the rack, and I was like, when do we leave Baltimore? Because I don't know what it is. I didn't see the ball well. Something was off to my eye. I didn't like it. So there's no rhyme or reason. Everybody has their favorites. And usually those cities, no matter how great or how bad the ballpark was, if you hit there, you love that ballpark.
Well, I got to tell you what, Brett, for a guy who didn't necessarily enjoy San Francisco, hitting 295 there is pretty good. I'm looking at it right now.
I'll tell you this.
A lot of flares.
Most of my games there were at Old Candlestick. There was no restroom in the dugout. If you needed to go to the clubhouse during the game, you had to walk across the field. Everything was going against you, wind blowing 100 miles an hour, swirling. And I'll tell you, you get in the box, it feels terrible. But I did have some success there. I hit some balls that I thought were pop-ups that went 10 rows deep. And believe me, though, I hit some balls that I leaned on and thought were 20 rows deep and didn't even get to the warning track. So you never knew what you were going to get when you were in San Francisco. But, yeah, I guess Candlestick. I never liked going there. It's almost like facing Pedro Martinez. I never want to face Pedro, but I always found a way to sneak a walk and a knockout that day. Didn't mean I liked facing him. Just means the results came. Similar to San Francisco.
Yeah, hey, I'm old enough that when you say old Yankee Stadium, Brett, I think of original Yankee Stadium. So that tells you my demographic.
Yeah, love that play. Nothing like it. Nothing. The ghosts of Yankee Stadium.
No, I agree. Hey,
they
Brett.
Will come out.
Yeah, really appreciate it, Brett. Thank you so much for your time, and look forward to talking to you as the summer continues.
You got it, guys. Thank you.
Yes, sir. That was Odyssey MLB Insider Brett Boone. Insider calls are presented by Grainger. With supplies and solutions for every industry, Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Yeah, you poor. You weren't even.
What?
I mean, you'll never have the chance to be in original Yankee Stadium.
I mean, and a lot of people won't ever have the chance to be in the Oakland Coliseum.
That's true.
In a few years.
Yeah, the original Yankee Stadium was
just a stadium.
Well, it was.
Did Ruth actually build it? I've heard rumors.
No, it would be like Chase's. No, it's the exact same thing as saying Steph Curry built Chase Center. See what I'm saying?
He did. I saw KD had the first hard hat.
He did. How'd that end up? Original Yankee Stadium, of course, had monuments on the playing field in left center field. I'll tell you what. We got Kay in here. He's a New Yorker.
Yes, he is.
Where did he?
New Jersey.
Okay. Hey, I got a question for you. What year did original Yankee Stadium become old Yankee Stadium?
Over under the Civil War.
And where'd they play? Where'd they play when the original Yankee Stadium was getting redone? I just got to go back to the 70s, yeah. And it's all over.
So you're saying, because there was two, right? So
correct.
You're talking about when they renovated Yankee Stadium?
Yes.
Okay, all right. So I remember when it was renovated. Reggie Jackson, right?
I think it's 74.
So that was Billy Martin era.
They played at whatever Ebbets Field used to be? I don't know.
No, they played at Shea Stadium.
Oh, Shea Stadium.
Yeah, they played at Shea.
Okay.
I think at least a year.
Did they ever play at the Polo Grounds, just in Harlem? Because that's where the Mets, or the Giants, rather, used to play. And the Mets, I think, played there one or two years?
Yeah, I don't know. I just know that original Yankee Stadium was cavernous. It was immense. And then old Yankees, forget the one now. Old Yankee Stadium, I'm sorry, that was the greatest stadium of all time.
Well, it's interesting that you bring up old venues that had a ridiculous amount of memories for a lot of people, because in 2019, today, the final time that Oracle Arena opened its doors.
That's 5 years. So
the 2019 finals.
This is the anniversary of the game 6 loss to Toronto.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know that. You know, one thing I found.
It's been 5 years since the Warriors played in Oakland.
Tempest Fugit.
Excuse me?
Tempest Fugit.
Is that a band?
Time flies in Latin.
Oh.
It really does. By the way,
what are you doing to our listeners?
I'm trying to educate.
We're not trilingual.
Inform.
Because I'm assuming you speak another language if you also speak Latin, because who speaks
English.
Latin anymore?
Well, Latin is a great language to study because it's so old that it's really the foundation for many, many languages.
Yes,
and
it is.
And if you know a little bit of Latin, you can kind of put together what words mean that you might not know. Nevertheless.
You took Latin in school?
Yeah, I took it in high school, and then I took it 1 year in college.
See, they didn't even.
That's why I'm so great
Latin.
With words.
Because you know Latin. You actually know Latin.
I mean, amo amas amat. Amatus amatus amat.
I took Latin in high school, too. It was so hard.
Vinny, Vinny, Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered. The ablative case.
I don't say this often, but you are impressing me.
Marjorie Wagner was my teacher. She was wonderful.
Shout out, Miss Wagner.
Well, she's long gone.
No, that's why I'm shouting her out.
She's gone.
This is...
Hey, by the way, did you happen to watch the Giants game, game 2 of the Astros series?
Yes.
Okay. So there was a play there, and... This is sometimes I see stuff that nobody else sees, but I know I'm right, kind of like the Crescent City
thing.
How
would you describe it in Latin?
Okay, so Mauricio Dubon, former Giant, is up, and he hits a ball down the left field line, and Conforto starts running to his right toward the foul line, and he starts to pull up,
mm-hmm.
and the ball bounces in play, goes over the wall for a ground rule double. I'm telling you right, and they never showed a replay. I'm telling you right now, that ball hit the screening and glanced, ricocheted a hair onto the playing field, and they didn't see it.
So you're saying it was a foul ball?
It was absolutely a foul ball, and I think it must have grazed off the netting where the metal was, because Conforto was like, he didn't misjudge it. He did not misjudge the ball. He was looking at it and he just started pulling up because he's like, that's a foul ball and it's going to land. And it hit something. It didn't ricochet. It was just like.
But Mauricio Dubon still got a double out of it.
He did. Right. But it should have been a foul ball is what I'm saying.
Was Angel Hernandez the umpire?
No. Anyway, that like the Crescent City Solar Project, if you saw that.
Crescent Dunes.
By the way, it's Crescent Dunes.
Yeah.
Crescent City.
Great city in Northern California. You ever been there? Crescent City.
I thought Crescent City was in Oregon. Am I tripping?
Crescent City is California.
Damn it.
I think it's the northernmost city in California, but it is on the border. I think the first... I think the first city in Oregon is Brookings.
Count the bucket.
Brookings is the first city in Oregon when you pass the cross the border. Da-da-da-da. Da-da-da-da. Am I right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't know because you always go to the dunes up there to play golf.
Just not always, twice. But
gotta go a little further.
That's from my days as driving my family around in an RV. I would highly recommend that. 33-footer with pop-outs. Your boy can drive the big RVs.
I was thinking of Newport. Apologies.
What I need to do is drive the fifth wheel. Like, that's what I need to do. Tow the fifth wheel. Then you have access. Do you know the difference between a regular RV vehicle and what they call a fifth wheel?
No, but I've fifth wheeled a decent amount.
No, it's not third wheel like when you're...
Yeah, but you can also be a fifth wheel.
Bothering somebody that's on a date.
Or you can bother two couples that are on a date.
Well, I'll explain that on the other side.
Seventh wheel stuff, though.
By the way, it's not quite a guru's gripe, but Evan, something's bothering Evan, and he's gonna let somebody have it maybe on the other side. Hey, what's coming up on the game? Your chance to win a 4-pack of tickets to the Alameda County Fair. Listen in at 12:30 to win a 4-pack to the Alameda County Fair. It's all presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. I mean, Amoa Masamat, Vinny Vici. I came, I saw, I conquered.
I don't say this often, but you are impressing me.
Now, back to Steiny and Guru on 95.7 The Game.
Vinny Vici.
I know Sarah and Vinny. They work down the hall.
Hey, by the way, you said I did something that I got a 5 for the other day. Or
was it just like that thing that I said on the air that you said you remembered and then you didn't remember the moment you tried to remember it?
Well, what I remembered was that you didn't say it.
Yes, I did.
No, you did. You did.
The 5? It sounds like this.
Come on. Make it happen. There you go. All right, it's time. Right now, you want a 4-pack to the Alameda County Fair? Oh, you can also join Guru for a day at the racetrack on Saturday, June 29th, if you want. 415-523-4652. Caller number 5 right now to 415-523-4652. 4 tickets. It's a 4-pack to the Alameda County Fair. And I didn't realize, if you want.
I don't think he realized either.
If you want, you go on the 29th and you can join Guru for a day at the racetrack. Hey. June 29th is a Saturday. I'm sure he's getting paid for it, but he will still be very hospitable. 415-523-4652. Caller 5. 4-pack of tickets to the Alameda County Fair. You ever been to the Alameda County Fair?
I have. When I was younger, though, when I was a kid. I haven't been like as an adult, though. I got to tell you what. I did go to Carnival, which is right down my block in the Mission District.
That's not the original Carnival. The original Carnival is in
Brazil?
Rio de Janeiro.
Yeah, it's in Brazil, but it's like mini. Well, yeah, of course, it's not in Brazil. It's not in one of the largest cities in the world, but it is honoring all of the different sub-American countries that our world has to offer and their cultures. The point is, I have not been to a place, unlike the fair, where you can get a massive turkey leg. Have you ever had a turkey leg, Steiny?
No.
It's a delicacy.
Where?
It is at the fair. There's only certain places that sell giant, massive smoked turkey legs.
Oh.
The fairs or carnivals or carnivals, but it is delicious.
You know, I don't know if you know this, but you said something that could be interpreted as a slight or a sub-American.
Yeah.
Sub means underneath.
Mm,
you're saying, like, if you're not of the American culture, you're beneath us?
Geographically speaking, south of the border.
Geographically. I got you.
By the way, I do remember what the five was.
What?
Do you really want me to say it? It was about Jerry West.
Yeah. Just give me a keyword.
So yesterday, obviously, Jerry West passed away.
Is this insensitive? Because it's too soon.
A little bit, yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh. Oh.
Would you like to share it?
Mm.
No. It was a joke.
It was a joke.
By the way, we spent 4 hours talking about the greatness of Jerry West and how historic, honestly, and iconic he was as somebody that is probably the most closely associated across all of history with the NBA and his contributions to it. So we spent 4 hours with an homage to Jerry West. And in the midst of it, you made it funny.
So I'm listening to Willard yesterday. And he brought up a point that I didn't necessarily disagree with, but of course I'm always trying to find something that Willard says that I want to pick on. So he said, is it really a sad day? It's not really a sad day. Jerry West was 86 years old and he lived a great life. And that's everything you want out of life, is to be a success and be a positive influence. So, but of course I thought, well, it's a sad day for those who knew Jerry West, friends of Jerry West. Obviously, it's a sad day. So he's very literal.
Well, you know Jerry West. You've met him.
Yeah, but I don't know him. I don't know him. Anyway, so yesterday, listen.
I'm sorry I brought it up. You asked, though.
We should probably just go to Wendy.
Let's do it, because I want to rip him.
All right, I said it. So Jerry West was 86 years old, one of the greatest passers in the NBA and shooters. And yesterday we were coming in to the show, and we had stuff to talk about, but we were looking for a hook. We were looking for a hook.
The meat.
A hook. And then it's funny because I got into the car and Susan said to me, something's going on with the Warriors. And I said, why?
Oh.
She had the morning roast on and she had to move her car so I could get out. So I hadn't gotten into my car yet. And she said, something's going on with the Warriors. And I said, what? She said, I don't know, but they said like they're Warriors and they're trying to call the Warriors for something. And I was like, oh, what could this be? And then I got into the car and realized it was Jerry West. So the bottom line is then we ended up spending 4 hours on Jerry West. And I thought it was a great show. And I just said that one great final assist from Jerry West was yesterday's show.
Yeah. Well, it was like, I don't know if you remember when...
Great assist.
When Ken Stabler passed away, there was, I think, it was reported prematurely, like the family hadn't put out a statement yet. And
I do remember that.
So there were people wondering if he was actually deceased or not. And I do remember reading something that I thought was kind of funny, which was Ken Stabler's trying to stage one last late game comeback. I thought that was pretty good.
Just when, then.
As long as he was alive at that time.
Yes.
Gotcha. Hey, by the way.
Rest in peace.
Listen, we don't snow anybody here. Something's happened with the YouTube chat, and I've noticed that some people are blaming me. I wasn't even here. When it all came down, whatever happened, I don't even know. I don't know. I'm not nosy. I stay out of business. Got a memo about the chat. I wasn't even here. So
I don't know what's going on. You know what makes me laugh? Is that people really think that the guy who is speaking Latin on the show today is the one responsible for all these technological issues. You are speaking Latin. Yeah, he's the one that shut down the chat. Okay. Yeah, that guy.
Exactly. I don't even know how to enter a chat. Dallas is up 3-0.
I think they're down.
Oh, yeah.
Night.
Actually, you did say, so I'll get to this Windhorse sound in a minute. But, okay, you said that if you look at the Celtics, this is one of the historically greatest teams, and nobody really thinks of them that way. I will say this. I'm watching them last night, and I did say to myself, this team could be a problem for a little while.
Boston.
I joke with my main man guru about every team that wins a title now is going to have a dynasty. But man, who's beating the Boston Celtics? They've got, they're intact for at least two more years. They fit together. And I also think it's funny. And I fell victim to this. All year long, I was like, there's something about Boston. I don't know. Just on that. I don't think they're ready. Something about Boston. I don't know. They're the best team by far in the NBA. All right. I mean,
that's how you win 64 games. I mean, you're the best team. Now, I think, because I put this out on Twitter last night, because I was just curious. I think it's going to be fascinating to look back on how we remember, say, this Celtics team. Because we look back on, again, the anniversary of the 2017 Warriors team to finish up a 16-1 postseason run. That happened today,
right,
7 years ago. Okay, that team is historic. It's the best team that I've ever seen in my lifetime that's been assembled. Obviously, Curry, Clay, KD, Draymond, Iguodala, all in their prime. I don't think there's going to be another team in my lifetime that can touch that. If there is, well, I want to watch it. But the Celtics, statistically, are in the same category. If you look at the net rating, so, you know, offensive to defensive rating, they're in the same class as the 2017 Warriors.
Right.
But when you watch them play, there's an obvious difference. Like, that Warriors team went 16-1. The Celtics team has a chance to go 16-2 through the playoffs. I think that Warriors team won 67 games. This Celtics team won 64 games. But the eye test, to me, says that there's just a chasm between the two. And I swear it's not just Warriors goggles. Like, that Warriors team felt inevitable. I think there was a lot of traction around these finals because people didn't believe in these Celtics, that there was going to be some series, an instance in which, like last year, that they were going to get beat by a seventh seed in Miami who got to the finals. There was some fraudulence about them. And it's clear watching this series. And I thought that Boston was a bad matchup for Dallas. I didn't think that Dallas was the best team in the West. I think the best team in the Western Conference was one of the two teams that played each other in Minnesota or Denver. That's besides the point. But Boston's just going to essentially cakewalk to this championship, and it doesn't feel like people are going to look at them as if they are historic. And I don't think they should. But everything on paper has them in the same category as the 2017 KD and Steph Curry-led Warriors. It's just fascinating to me.
Yeah, I'm with you. And I'm not big on the greatest team of all time and who is it, but I'm hearing Jason Kidd say Jaylen Brown's the best player, and I thought, you know what, I think Drew Holiday might be the best player.
I think Tatum's the best player.
Tatum could be the best player, but that's why I'm looking at this team now and saying, who's going to beat them? Because their top three players are all great. I get Drew Holiday's 30. And this is the thing I was talking to Carter about before the show. I'm not crazy about Porzingis, but if he's your fourth best player, I mean, you got to be kidding me. Like, that team is good, and they're not going anywhere. They're long. They got three stars. They got a wild card in Porzingis. Pretty, they're in the East, which is going to help them because they're going to be able to get to the finals without as much duress as the Western Conference teams, you would think, all things being equal. Uh-oh. Let's get to Robin in San Francisco. She doesn't like what you did there. Boy. What's up, Robin?
Hi, how are you guys doing? Evan, I just let down your road a little bit. Let me say this first to Simon. You know, I don't know how old Evan is, but I know how old you and I are. And so I'm old enough to remember the Boston Celtics of the 80s. You know, even before, with JoJo White, John Havlicek, Dave Collins, you know, the old school. And before the big three, you know, after that, the big three was formed with, you know, Parrish and Cowan and McHale, okay? So, you know, I wanted to let Evan know this. Don't ever, we're not talking about the past. Please don't ever compare this Boston Celtics team to the Warriors of 2017, of any era of the Warriors when they ruled. Now, to me, the Celtics, I'm still not a believer. I believe more so that they have more depth and a little bit more experience, and it's about time to get there. But Jason Tatum still hasn't showed up. I know his job is not, it's the score, but he's been doing other things, but he still ain't showed up, and everybody going to blow him up like a superstar. And when you look at him, he really hasn't done that, you know, this season, and this postseason, if you look at him. So and Al Horford, all he do is stand in the corner and shoot threes. I'm just saying, I could break it down all the way. And in terms of, so they're outplaying the Mavericks for whatever reason, but they do not dominate. They do not dominate the way the Warriors did when they was they run. They simply do not. So please don't ever insult the Golden State Warriors by comparing them to this Boston Celtics. Peace out, you guys.
Thank you, Robin. Appreciate it. If Robin hadn't have said it, I would have.
Yeah, but you were actually listening to me. I love Robin. Did you not hear the comparison is on paper?
Well, you brought it up. I mean, you even bring it up is
the
offensive.
Eye test. Did I not just say they're a chasm away from each other? Like the Warriors and the Celtics?
That's what I didn't hear.
I'm saying on paper.
I thought you said crack. They're a crack away from them. Like a sidewalk.
Speckle?
Yeah, like a sidewalk crack.
By the way, if you really want me to go down this road, I will. So the Warriors in the first round that year, they swept a 500 Blazers team. Congrats. Round two, they beat a Jazz team. It was led by Gordon Hayward and Rudy Gobert. Congrats. And then in 2017, Zaza Pachulia slips under Kawhi Leonard, knocks him out for the series in a game they might have blown after being up by 20. And then you go on to beat LeBron James and you lose a game. The paths are not dissimilar. I'm just saying. Again, there is a chasm between the 2017 Warriors and the 2024 Boston Celtics.
Well,
I just started looking at, because again, Stein,
I wouldn't say chasm, but that's just wordplay.
Well, apparently the fact that we're mentioning them in the same sentence is disrespectful to some. So I just have to reiterate that I think there's a chasm between the two teams.
Well, let me ask you this. Just, okay, the year the Warriors went 16-1 in the playoffs, what was their regular season record?
67-15.
Okay, so everybody's in the same ballpark here.
That's my point.
Right, don't say it's a chasm, that's all.
Well, apparently I can't bring them up at all because it's disrespectful. And now the fact that I say that it's a chasm, to reiterate my point that I wasn't comparing the two via the eye test, is also disrespectful to the Celtics, according to you.
I'll tell you
what
this.
What side are you on? Are you on Robinson?
I'm right in the middle.
Oh, my God.
I'm right in the middle. I will say this.
I'll fall on the sword.
I'll tell you this. I don't care. Pick a version of the Warriors that you think was their best version. They ain't sweeping this year's Celtics. Warriors would not sweep the Celtics of this year.
Yeah, Robin, call in about that, please.
I mean, they couldn't even sweep the Cavs. The Cavs stunk. Mm-hmm. No, but anyway,
that Cavaliers team, they lost one game on the road to the finals.
They stunk.
That Cavaliers team was good.
Who did they have? That's the year everybody. That's the
LeBron, Kyrie, and Kevin Love.
Right, but they didn't play in the finals.
No, they did. That was 2015.
No, Love didn't play in the finals.
Yes, he did.
No, he didn't. Did he?
In 2017 against KD.
Well, Kyrie wasn't on that team.
Yes, he was.
They lost. No, I don't think so.
That was the year that KD in Game 3 hit the go-ahead three over LeBron in transition in Cleveland.
Yeah, tight game. Game was tight.
Yeah, Kevin Love played all five games of that series.
He was a shell of himself, though.
That's. I don't know. I don't know how I got twisted into this corner.
You know what? I'll bail everybody out. The greatest team of all time was the '86 Celtics. I mean.
I also said this is the greatest team I've ever seen. I don't know.
No, the Warriors team, you're saying.
Yeah, that's my point. I don't know.
I don't have a problem with it.
No, I know. Sorry. I'm getting lost in apparently the eight people on the text line that disagree with me.
Well, they don't matter.
No, they don't.
We learned that the other day.
Yes, we did.
No.
I just think it's interesting that again, like this Celtics team is by mathematical standards, like very good.
Yes.
They have the best offensive rating of all time. Their net rating is exactly the same as the 2017 Warriors. And so I threw on Twitter last night, at Evan A. Giddings, how are we going to remember this team? Because I'm just curious. Like, if you watch them play, if you watch the entire postseason run of the Celtics, I don't think you would, like, it wouldn't be a comparison. You wouldn't put them in the same class as the Warriors.
I agree.
And yet, on paper, they are.
Right. No, I
think it's just,
I'm messing with you. I know what you're saying.
Yeah.
But you're right. The Celtics team's not going to be thought of as the 96 Bulls or the
My one mulligan whatever best of the Warriors of the blowing Warriors. Game four of that final, so they could have had a perfect walk to the postseason.
Well, I mean, if you really want to get into it, the reason that I don't think the 96 Bulls are the greatest team ever is because they lost three times in the postseason.
No, they're gutless.
I mean, the Warriors went 16-1 in the postseason. That matters. You're beating playoff. You swept three out of four series. The Bulls didn't do that when they, Jordan's last year. Well, they lost two games in a row to the Sonics, didn't they?
Well, how many teams? It was just the 2000 Lakers, right? And they went 16-1 only because Iverson had 50 in game one of the finals.
Right. I think so. So nobody's gone 16-0 in the postseason.
No, I don't believe so.
Well, the other reason why is because it's a relatively new format where they've had 4 7 game series.
Well, even back in the day, were there teams that had to go through multiple series that swept on their way to a championship?
One more time.
Pre 7 game first round series.
Right.
Was there anybody that went undefeated through the playoffs in which they had to win multiple series, not just back in the day in which it was, you know, the top two teams?
I'm going to say no.
I don't think so.
But the one thing I remember about, let's say 1983, when the Philadelphia 76ers won it, that's when Moses Malone famously said, foe, 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 meaning three sweeps in a row. Now, they did lose one game. They were 12-1. They only had three rounds. The NBA used to be, the playoffs used to be better in the NBA.
Oh, of course they were.
Huh? They used to have three-game series. That gets you to urgency in a hurry.
That's unfair for a top seed.
Why? Well, first of all, when they had
come out flat.
When they had three-game series, the number one seed had a bye in the first round.
Well, then I like it.
Yeah,
it's more beneficial than, say, baseball, where the top seed has to sit out. That actually hurts them, I think.
Because rust versus rest?
Yeah, it's more applicable in baseball than basketball.
See, in 2009, best team ever was the Shaq Kobe Lakers.
There you go.
They can stake their claim to that. They went 15-1. So that means the first series was still five games. Gotcha.
Well, and I think one of the reasons, look, when Durant got to the Warriors, it just became unfair. But I'm kind of with the 925 and the Xfinity mobile text line here, which is, you know, the Celtics need to basically do it again. You know, in order to prove how good this team was, they do need to win again in the near future. And to your point, Sonny, I think they are set up to do that. I mean, they have literally everyone in their playoff rotation right now, I think outside of maybe Xavier Tillman, under contract for next season. And the only two that come off the books anytime soon would be Derek White and Al Horford, who's almost 40. So they're in pretty good position.
No, I think they are too. And we're also, I also think while you can, let's say you're the Philadelphia 76ers or the Milwaukee Bucks, you're obviously trying to figure out how to get back on top of the Celtics or get on top of the Celtics. But the reality to me always is the only way you do that is by making changes. And then you, in a way, kind of have to start over a little bit. And you can do it over the course of a year, but it's also a little bit risky. Why the hell did the Bucks trade Drew Holiday? Oh, my gosh.
That's Giannis.
Yeah. I'll tell you what. You talk to people around the league. I would say Drew Holiday's probably the most underrated player in the league. He's among the most underrated players in the league.
I think a lot of people, like, he's becoming more properly rated, yes, because of how much, like, he's the best perimeter defender in basketball.
He might be the best
overall.
He might be.
Like, he can change the game that much. The one thing about Drew I think is interesting is he's 34 years old.
Mm-hmm.
He's not a spring chicken.
No.
And he's still able to play 40 minutes a night for four straight series.
Exactly. Well, the other thing about Drew Holiday is, if you put Drew Holiday on a power forward, it doesn't mean he can shut the power forward down. But what it means is you can put Drew Holiday on a much bigger player and you will never pay the price for it. Like, they're not just going to go to that guy and he's going to be able to dominate Drew Holiday. That's why Drew Holiday is a great defender. I think that's been the difference in the series, is they can switch everything. Remember when last time we heard that? It was about the Warrior teams. I mean, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Drew Holiday, they're all big enough that they can hang in there when they get switched up on somebody bigger or quicker.
Well, that's why, as much as I wasn't a fan of the way that Luka finished the game last night, I don't really think that Windhorst killing him is fair. Well, Ryan Windhorst, I'm talking about. We maybe could play that sound on the other side.
Yeah, it's pretty strong, let's put it that way. The 925, and I do think this is part of it, and this is, I think, what Robin was talking about. I'm just messing with you, but these two teams aren't comparable to the Warriors. And he brings up the fact that, remember, the Warriors, Steph Curry didn't play 18 fourth quarters because they were winning so handily. Now, I know that was in the regular season, but that is something. I mean, the Celtics have been great, but they've had games they could have lost. Those Warrior teams, I do think, were a little bit,
by the way,
more dominant.
Our guy Justin from engineering,
yeah,
just texted me. 0-1 Lakers are the best team of all time.
Well, it's official then. If that's what Jay says, then it goes. We're gonna play this sound for you on the other side. Evan's got a bone. He's got a bone, and he's gonna pick it.
It's in the fridge,
and that's. Was sponsored by Safeway.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.